Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
And so for all those reasons, I think that Kamala Harris is very likely to ascend to the top of the ticket. If there's, there shouldn't really be much doubt about it this morning, but let's see how it all plays out.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
From the office of the Vice President, VP Kamala Harris today set to welcome college basketball stars to the White House. 10:30 our time, congratulating the NCAA championship teams. Okay, that'll be an interesting event now.
It's kind of an elephant in the room, right?
Yeah, right? Oh, by the way, what did you do this weekend? Tomorrow due in Milwaukee. Still no details on her previously announced visit, which has obviously taken on far greater significance now that President Joe Biden is officially out of the race for re-election and he has endorsed his VP for the job. ABC's Stephen Portnoy joins us live at 6:20 this morning to break down these developments and reaction from the Trump campaign as well. So you have that. A monster week shaping up here in Wisconsin. Opening today, EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, daily air shows, tons to see at Whitman Regional Airport. Day one is today. That runs through the weekend. Milwaukee Air and Water Show runs Saturday and Sunday in Milwaukee. Expect to see the fighter jets buzzing around the skies by midweek, doing their practice runs also. Okay, that sound for you. Harley-Davidson's now annual homecoming party. That officially begins Thursday. Big concerts at Veterans Park are Friday and Saturday. But riders from all around the world expected to pack the dealerships and other spots and venues throughout southeast Wisconsin later this week.
I already saw some of the Harleys over the weekend. They were
zipping
rolling
all
in.
Over. There's a dealership near me on the south side, House of Harley on Layton Avenue, and like the build out for what they've been preparing for is already up. Not enough? German Fest opens Friday at Meyer Festival Park. Packers open training camp today in Green Bay. Folks head up for that. Practices open this week.
It's nonstop. I think there's even more.
Did you say like Beer Fest was going on?
There's a like a craft beer brewery tasting on Saturday at McKinley. Got the sausage race, the 5K Brewers sausage race is Saturday. I think it's a 10K also in there.
I mean, what else?
Deadpool. I don't know.
Is South Shore Frolic back this weekend?
When's Dan Jensen's event? Doesn't he have something?
Yeah, right? There in Greenfield? That's got to be the Family Fest.
Does that
right?
still happen?
It does still happen. We'll check that. Like, we're out of time.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Green Bay Packers open training camp in Green Bay today. No new deal for quarterback Jordan Love just yet. Packers did announce a contract extension for defensive lineman Kenny Clark. General manager Brian Gutekunst expected to discuss further details of the deal later this morning. Meanwhile, the kids get the bikes ready for the ride from Lambeau Field over to Ray Nitschke practice facility across Oneida Street in Green Bay.
And you start to not even think of him as really a player. You just kind of look at him as a friend.
I get a little nervous, but it's fun because they're interactive.
It was exciting because I was like one of the last people, and I thought I wasn't going to get picked, and I was really nervous.
Yeah, but then I got picked, and it was the best day ever.
That's awesome.
NBC 26 News up there at Green Bay talking with kids at one of the earlier training camps. Players continuing that tradition of riding the bikes over to practice. Practice is open to the public at 10:30 a.m. today, followed by the annual shareholders meeting.
Okay, this is the Packers treasurer right now giving the financial update. Treasurer's report. Seen a lot of people head for the concession stand at this point. Too interested in the math.
I attended my first meeting as an owner back in 2022. Mm-hmm. There is some actual business that takes place with the board of directors, which is not very sexy. Like they have various things. Here's the treasurer's report.
I like that, though. That's so cool, though. The fact that they get into the nuts and bolts
the owner,
of it
I'm
all.
An owner. Yeah. I have a right to know these things.
You also get updates from the general manager, from President Mark Murphy. Festive show that is this afternoon as we kick off the 2024 season.
How about them Brewers?
1-0. Drilled deep to left. Watch this baby. Way, way back. Way, way gone. Second deck. Game-tying home run. Jackson Chourio. Have yourself a weekend at Target Field. Chourio knots the game at 5, leading off the 7th inning.
Jackson Chourio with a bomb, also a double on Sunday. 3 RBIs as the Brewers sweep the Twins 8-7 in the final there. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers got Chourio cheap. It's like an 8-year deal, $80 million, something like that. Murphy says the kid deserves double. Like, he's just ridiculous. He went 5-for-9 in the series. It's just 2 games. 5-for-9, double homer, 2 stolen bases, 3 runs scored, 5 RBI. You can see that's working.
Live in stereo with my main man, Jackson Chourio.
Up next for the crew, a trip to Chicago to take on the bumbling Cubs.
How are they doing down there? Ooh, pretty good?
Last place. 7:05 first pitch. Our pregame coverage starts at 6 right here on WTMJ.
6:18 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We'll go live to Washington, talk with ABC's Stephen Portnoy, who just left Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. Find out what's cooking now. We'll look at the Democrats. We'll look at the Republicans. How things have changed. That's all next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Jackson Chourio. Have yourself a weekend.
What is not happening today? This morning, Democrats reeling, Republicans pivoting.
If you ever wondered how Joe Biden could get the border so screwed up, remember, he had help.
An attack ad made by a pro-Trump group is already airing in key battleground states.
That didn't take but a second. ABC's Rhiannon Ally there reporting the GOP wasting no time following the weekend announcement that President Biden will not seek re-election. He has endorsed his Vice President Kamala Harris, who is set to visit Milwaukee tomorrow. ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy, who just left Milwaukee following the RNC, live with us this morning. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. You know, I keep thinking about it. I've been thinking about it since I left Milwaukee as I was on with Jessica and Greg and John and Julia, and I probably made some predictions that didn't bear out. So forgive me in advance for anything I might say here this morning, but wow, what a weekend it has been, and what a new dynamic race we have, as the majority of House Democrats have now come out and said that they support Kamala Harris's run, and they've endorsed her along with key union leaders, governors of various states. And the momentum is tremendous. Overnight, there was a call organized for African-American women in support of Harris. More than 45,000 people were reportedly on that Zoom call. And that's just the latest example of just this enormous and very sudden groundswell of support on the left, a new energy on the left in the wake of the president's shocking announcement yesterday at midday that he would be stepping out of the race, not resigning from office, but stepping out of the race.
So let's go to the other side then. I recall from one of those campaign briefings, Eric and I were at one of those in the morning, a question came up about a vice presidential debate. It was right after the J.D. Vance announcement. And a Trump campaign official sort of quipped, well, we don't know who the vice presidential candidate will be at this point. It was a joke, but clearly indicated that they knew this was possible, if not imminent.
Well, it certainly seemed very likely going into the weekend. And the reporting indicates that members of Joe Biden's inner circle huddled with him on Saturday. Remember, he's still in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, recovering from COVID. And the word was that they sat with him and from a distance and explained that they had data that indicated that he was not going to win in November. And that is what led him to the decision to remove himself from the running. And so now it's a completely different race, as I say. This morning, just in the last few minutes, the super PAC that supports Donald Trump, MAGA Inc., Make America Great Again Inc., has a new fact sheet, as they describe it, looking at Kamala Harris's record. They call her a weak-on-crime prosecutor when she served as San Francisco's district attorney. Kamala Harris owns Joe Biden's open border. You heard that clip from the Rhiannon Ally piece as you led into this segment. That illustrates that the Trump campaign is ready to go. We had reported over the weekend before the president's announcement that he wasn't going to run that the Trump campaign was already digging into possible number twos on a Kamala Harris ticket. And you imagine that that work continues speedily with dossiers being prepared on all of the possible contenders who could join her on a ticket.
And I have to assume, too, Stephen, that there's going to be a lawsuit or three. It just seems like that would be the next likely step from the GOP side of things to file a complaint in one of these states.
Well, look, the experts we've talked to say that there's no grounds to do that because the Democratic convention has not yet been held. The fact that there were primaries that have been held, sure, that's one thing, but there's no that was not necessarily indicative. I mean, the primary in any one state doesn't necessarily impact the ultimate outcome.
Sure.
So I don't know that there's anything there. I do know that there was a lot of talk about the possibility, but it seems to me that if the Democrats can get their ducks in a row and nominate someone, be it Harris or anybody else, by a certain state's deadline, that that gets ahead of that.
Talking with ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy. On the Democratic side, Stephen, how does this play out? Say ultimately it is Vice President Harris who gets that nomination. Do the Democrats at least have to offer the view or the idea that there was a contest, that there was a battle, that other people had a chance? I mean, there are other people who are saying, like, I don't know, why not me?
Well, the one person who has been talked about, although this morning in an interview he suggested it, he's not necessarily interested, is Joe Manchin, the now independent senator from West Virginia who left the Democratic Party earlier this year.
Right.
There have been some rumblings that maybe he might re-register as a Democrat to challenge Harris. I don't think he's going to win a majority of the delegates. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that it might be significant for the Democrats to show the country that there was some sort of process, that this wasn't a sudden coronation. I mean, look, it's difficult for all the obvious reasons in Democratic politics right now. There's the historic nature of a Kamala Harris candidacy, the first black woman, the first South Asian woman. You know, the fact that she is the sitting vice president clearly gives her a leg up. There's the practical reality, the fact that she now controls the campaign cash, close to $100 million that she's able to spend without complications. If another candidate were to emerge, it'd be extremely much more difficult for that candidate to access that money that's already been raised. And so for all those reasons, I think that Kamala Harris is very likely to ascend to the top of the ticket. If there's, there shouldn't really be much doubt about it this morning, but let's see how it all plays out.
ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy. You got out of here okay, right, Stephen?
I was very fortunate not to have to work.
Friday.
Let me tell you something. When I was at the airport on Friday, there was a 2.5 hour wait just at bag check for Delta Airlines. Nothing against any one airline in particular. Right. We all had the troubles with the CrowdStrike strike, but I was very fortunate not to have any myself.
It was great to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
You bet, guys.
We should mention Vice President Harris will be in Milwaukee tomorrow. No details yet on where, when, that type of thing, but the VP will be in Bruce City.
Packers open training camp today, and Brewers rookie Jackson Churio hopes to never leave Target Field. Had a weekend.
Airlines, including Delta, continuing to struggle to restore operations 2 days after a faulty software update caused technological havoc worldwide, resulted in several airlines grounding flights. The Delta CEO said in a statement on Sunday that flight cancellations continue as they try to recover its system and restore operations. This from that situation from security company CrowdStrike sent out a corrupted software update that shut down more than 8 million Microsoft devices.
The outage impacting operations at our nation's ports, borders, hospitals, 911 call centers, and more. The fix isn't fast. It's machine by machine, where each computer needs to be manually rebooted and updated.
CBS correspondent Elise Preston. We heard one soundbite on Friday of a pilot saying, yeah, I had no idea where to park the plane. Like, landed the plane in Newark or someplace like that, and they didn't know where to put him. So he's like, I'm just going to put it in park
We're
here.
We're just
like,
over here for now.
Didn't know where to put the plane. Just crazy. And other people just trying to find places to sleep.
We found a place at the airport, and 2 hours later, someone came and said, no, you cannot stay there because this area will close. So we had to wake up the children and to find another place.
Oh, can you imagine that? Like, you finally find, like, just a couple of seats.
Got your little corner there. It's kind of dark.
Hey, okay. Sorry, ma'am. Wake up your kids. You can't stay here. Like, oh, come on.
That's where you hope some of these airports, like, you're dealing with an extraordinary situation. Yes. Can you help out?
Throw them a bone, maybe.
Right.
Anyway, it's supposed to get better and better each day, but still dealing with cancellation.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. At 6:41 this Monday morning, I want to get you some more information on a mass shooting in a Milwaukee park. It was a 17-year-old girl who was killed early this morning, 9 other people injured, and this apparently was not an event, or at least it was not a scheduled event. They're calling it an impromptu car party. One of these things where the word gets out on social media or other ways and say, hey, everybody's meeting up here. And so you had a bunch of cars late at night. I mean, the park's closed already. And they met up. Some sort of fight ensued. And then you had shots fired. So 10 people hit by gunfire in all. That 17-year-old girl killed, 9 others injured in that. Dineen Park is like far west side of Milwaukee, about 76th and Capitol.
Okay.
Is one of the borders.
Yeah.
Bordered on the south by Burleigh, if you know that area. So it's a busy and popular park. But again, this all happened at about 12:30 in the morning, so the park would already have been closed. You see, I'll get you this from the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. 15-year-old male, 5 18-year-old females, 2 18-year-old males, all involved. 8 victims in stable condition, one of the 18-year-olds in critical condition. 2 homes around that area were hit by gunfire as well. And investigators say they're working to identify and locate a suspect or suspects as well as motive. But again, it sounds like you just had a large number of people there. Things got out of control and then shots began ringing out.
One young woman was trampled, says the sheriff's office. Going to be okay, but ran over.
I don't have an indication of how many people were all there at the time, but it sounds like a big gathering, mm-hmm. right? And that's, you know, when cruising was a big issue along Capitol Drive, that was another thing where like word would get out like, hey, we're cruising tonight. Mm-hmm. And then you'd just have a mass of people because word would travel fast and then everybody wanted to be where the action was. And so that sounds like that's how this all began in this park, about 76th and Capitol Drive overnight. So still developing. And as the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office said, they are still working on identifying a suspect or suspects. 6:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Green Bay Packers kick off training camp today. A little bit earlier than usual because we've got the international game coming up to start the season. So we get to start training camp a little bit earlier than everybody else. 10:30 open practice at Ray Nitschke Field, preceded by a great Green Bay tradition, the kids offering up their bikes for players to ride over to practice.
Very it's nice. Really fun because you get to like talk to the people, the NFL players, and it's really fun. And you get to know them and talk to them.
Thanks, man, for coming.
Yep.
Have a good one.
And I got Innis Gaines.
What? Want gloves?
Sure. And he's going to ride my bike back again.
Can't get enough of this kid. I found an NBC 26 News report out of Green Bay a year or two ago at training camp, and this little girl was just over the moon.
Awesome.
She got picked by one of the players to have her bike ride down there. So talk about that little one in a previous year's camp. Also today, the annual shareholders meeting. That is this afternoon following practice. Team President Mark Murphy always has a gem or two.
Here's the reality. We have a lot of noon home games. We're a shitty team.
It was from my first owner's meeting, Eric, that
and
I attended in 2022.
Not wrong.
Well, Packers have 8 noon starts on the schedule, so I don't know as it stands right now. Some of those can change and move.
They'll change.
I don't know what that tells you. Still waiting on the big announcement. When will Jordan Love get a contract extension, a new long-term deal? General Manager Brian Gutekunst today expected to offer details on an extension with defensive lineman Kenny Clark, senior statesman on the defense. NFL.com's Ian Rappaport saying that it's a 3-year deal at $64 million, but no one's going to want to talk about that. Yeah, but what about the Jordan Love? I'm not talking about Jordan Love.
Well, get it done then.
Right, then get it done.
In Minnesota.
Have yourself a weekend.
Jackson Churio is on fire.
1-0. Drill deep to left. Watch this baby. Way, way back. Way, way gone. Second deck. Game tying home run. Jackson Churio. Have yourself a weekend at Target Field.
Oh my gosh. 8-7 the final. So dude would go 5-for-9 in the series. A double, a homer, 2 stolen bases, 3 runs scored, 5 RBIs. Churio also had a big catch on Sunday. He ended the game with one on Saturday.
And the first pitch to him is lined out towards left. Coming over is Churio. Diving catch. And this ball game is in the books. Jackson Churio, full extension, calls it in. And the Brewers take down the Twins 8-4.
So speaking of contracts, Pat Murphy brought up Churio's on Sunday. Said they got that kid for cheap. 8 years, 80-some million. He deserves $150 million, says Merv. So, well done. Well done, Matt Arnold and staff.
General Manager Matt Arnold stole one again.
It's amazing how often they've been able to pull that off. Up next, the Cubs. Three-game series at Wrigley starting tonight. Now, speaking of the Cubs, Craig Counsell, of course, is the manager of the Northsiders there. I thought you'd enjoy this. A little frustrated by a question that he was asked by ESPN's Jesse Rogers after their game.
Seventh inning with Morrell. There's a time run at second. He's looked like he was swinging for the lake there. I don't know. What do you think about some of those?
Come on, Jesse. Come on. That's your comment?
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about...
I think that's a bad take.
Why?
That's a bad take. He's swinging for the lake? That's a bad take. That's a bad take.
Why is that?
Why?
Why is that a bad
take? He's having a good at bat trying to hit the ball hard. It didn't work. The pitcher made a good pitch. He made an out.
Okay.
Okay.
I kind of agree with Counts on this one a little bit, that it was a strange question to ask. Hey, your dude was swinging for the fences, it looks like. What do you think? Like, how is he supposed to react to that?
I'm just sitting back here with my popcorn.
You're right. No, I get it.
And enjoying.
All right, pregame for the game tonight around 6 o'clock. First pitch, 7:05, right here on WTMJ.
Cubs are 10 games back of the Brewers right now. A lot of baseball to play.
But who knows? Maybe they're buyers.
Right.
Whatever.
6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Ain't got 6:52 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This is on the list of songs that were ringing in my head for that whole week of the RNC. Heard it a million times. God love them, but I don't need to hear from Lee Greenwood for a while. I love that song, but dang.
You pull back. You're right.
A lot of that. Coming up at the top of the hour, Vice President Kamala Harris due to visit Milwaukee tomorrow. Obviously, with an entirely different landscape ahead as President Biden has ended his bid for re-election. So we've got that coming up right at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. And then at 7:10, a telling interview that WTMJ's Libby Collins had with Florida Senator Marco Rubio when he was here for the RNC. What he was predicting even at the time here in Milwaukee and what he thinks ought to happen now that President Biden is out of the race. That's all coming up in our next hour. That conversation happening, of course, during the RNC. And I want to kind of tie a ribbon around that event here this Monday morning. Barricades and the fencing are gone. Milwaukee has its downtown back. And it's a good thing because we got a lot of stuff going on week. Right now, everything is in play. There is hardly an event that Milwaukee will not try to get, having great success with the Republican National Convention. There will be hard data on how many people actually did visit, on how much money we actually did see coming into our local economy.
We've already met with the host committee. We are working with Oxford Economics to put together an economic impact survey. Typically takes anywhere from maybe 90 days to put it together, and we'll begin to look at what was spent here and how it affected the economy.
Let's visit Milwaukee President and CEO Peggy Williams-Smith, joining us just hours after the RNC gaveled out here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Want to revisit a few significant things that she shared with us beyond that, which is, yes, there will be hard data we're going to actually study. Now that we've all sort of gotten some sleep and the event is in the books, we have been building toward this particular event really since we began courting the DNC pre-COVID. Peggy told us that once we secured that bid for the DNC, Visit Milwaukee began using that to court other events. Now we have an even better story to tell, and we'll go after everything.
We started when we secured the DNC. So we'll just continue, and now we'll be able to say that we executed a convention, which is going to be better for us. There's really nothing we won't go after unless it requires a football stadium. That's the only thing we can't really go after.
Because we don't have one, right? Okay.
Correct. Yes. And with winterizing of American Family Field, there are more events that we'll be able to bring to Milwaukee in the off season in that stadium.
It really did work out flawlessly in many ways for those that were part of the actual convention. Mm-hmm. Now, outside, someone might say something differently, but as far as the footprint, just the space, the breathability, the usage of the Baird Center, the High Life Theater.
Their close proximity.
Yeah, they're all walkable on a beautiful week. I mean, it really worked out well.
Baird Center goes right into the theater, right next to the arena, then right down the street, then you have Fiserv Forum, which was the main venue. Like, think about what they're dealing with in Chicago. The convention floor is at the United Center. I have to think a lot of the build-out, the stuff that we saw here in Milwaukee, would be McCormick Place. Right,
yeah, it'd be
lake.
A lot more difficult to...
That ain't walkable, folks. So, you're going to have all sorts of traffic and shuttle buses and things like that. So I agree with you. We pulled that part off great. Not everything went perfect, Visit Milwaukee's Peggy Williams-Smith telling us, yeah, some businesses did not get in on the action.
I've heard from several business owners that this was the best week they've had. I've heard from business owners who called me and said they were 20% down. This is a long game. It's not just these 5 days. This convention has created economic impact starting over 18 months ago. So it wasn't these 4 days alone that we're looking at, because that doesn't show or paint the entire picture.
So there's, you know, going to be a full evaluation of how that played out. Could we have done things better? What did we learn? No, something huge like this again in the future. What do we get next? For sure, we got to get an NBA All-Star game.
Boy, you'd think so.
That was promised to us anyway. And now that we have this demonstration, it's laughable to think the NBA is like, well, hotels, whatever. We put 50,000 people here. We got them in and around.
But some were staying in Madison. Some were staying in Sheboygan. They weren't all staying here in Milwaukee proper.
Okay, but you have it in New York, for example. And if you're staying in Jersey, it'll take you an hour to get to the venue
Fair
anyway.
Enough.
Even though you could probably see it from here to there. I know.
Oh, good point.
I've driven in New York traffic, which is not wise. So, right, maybe it's geographically further out, but probably the same amount of time. You know, the coming weeks and months will reveal a full accounting of the success and the shortcomings of hosting this huge event in the city. The coming years will reveal whether the promise of this increased visibility yields more visitors, more conventions, more events, and more business for Milwaukee and Southeast Wisconsin. 657 on Wisconsin's Morning News.